In 1992, a Baptist pastor in America by the name of Gary Chapman had a ministry focused on relationship counseling. And he wrote a book that was called Five Love Languages that's gone on to sell over 11 million copies in English and been translated into 49 other languages as well. And it's helped heal and repair many relationships. And it was based on the fact that he noticed that when he was counseling couples, that they would both say that they loved each other, and they both would say that the other person didn't love them. So how can both people say they love a person and the person say that they're not loved? And his theory, which he's built the book around, was the idea that perhaps these people were speaking different languages of love. So I might say I love you, but in a way that isn't heard or received by the person I'm speaking to. So it could be both true that each person in the couple loved one another, but neither felt loved. And so by helping people understand the different languages of love, he was able to help. And it's been quite significant over the years since 1992, and it's still a second edition is in print now. But I wondered on hearing that, if that is a possible reason why sometimes we say that we know God loves us, but we don't feel that God loves us. Is it possible that God's language of love is different from what we're expecting, or different from the way that we do that? So I guess I want to explore this morning this idea of God's language of love. What is it, and how might we attune ourselves to it and hear of it? Now, I'm certain that a case could be made for each one of these five languages as God's language of love. So I'm not saying that God only speaks one language of love. God speaks them all. But I'm saying that perhaps that there is a primary language of love that God speaks. And what I want to suggest this morning is that primary language is the language of gift-giving. So I believe that if we make it a habit of acknowledging God's gifts of love to us, that is, if we count our blessings, then we might actually feel more loved by God. So I want to start by looking at a verse that many people know by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth, see, I learned this verse when I had a King James Bible. So whoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, people perhaps didn't know I was that old. All right, but certainly almost all the time I've heard that verse, the focus has been on us. What do we have to do? If we believe, then what will we get? And I want to suggest that instead of rushing to the second half of the verse where we come involved, but that we actually stay with the first half of the verse and actually learn something about God and who he is. For God so loved the world, he gave. God's love expresses itself in giving. And in giving, in this verse, the focus is on he gives his only son. But you don't have to hang around church too often to know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are not three separate entities. When God the Father speaks about God the Son, he's speaking of God's self giving. And so when it says that God gives his son, it says God gives himself to us. So God so loved, he gave himself. That, I think, is one of the fundamental truths of the Bible. And I think that as we listen to that, as we engage with that, we might discover more of God's love for us. God is love, and he gives gifts of love. Kind of like the sun, I think. The sun burns and gives. It is in the nature of the sun to express itself in sunlight or sun heat or sun, whatever it is, the waves that come out of the sun. It is an integral part of the sun. You can't have the sun without the sunlight. You can't have the love of God without the giving that comes from that. God is love, and he gives. And he gives himself to us. God generously gives to all. God is the giver of all good gifts. God is the motivator, the empowerer, the energizer behind all good gifts. We've already heard this morning, early in the service, the reference made to James chapter 1, where we're told that God gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. God is the giver behind every good and perfect gift. God is love, so he gives. God is love, so he gives himself to us. That is, I think, God's primary language of love. God gives, and God gives himself. So, why do we give gifts at Christmas time? Now, there are cultural reasons for that, there are traditional reasons for that, and there are commercial reasons for that. There are a lot of reasons behind why we give gifts at Christmas time. But I want to think in terms of the Christmas story. Why do we give gifts as part of Christmas? And the answer is not the three wise men. I'm sure I heard that. They bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and therefore the first Christmas gifts. But fundamentally wrong, because they only give gifts because God has already given the gift. Right? The first gift of Christmas is God giving himself. God gives his son. So the wise men are just echoing God's gift of love by their gifts that they bring to the Christ child. In the biblical story, the first giver is always God himself. God reaches out to us. In the beginning, God gives himself. And after that, every gift is a response to God's gift to us. So these presents are the response that God's love comes to us, and so we echo that. But behind every gift is the first gift, that God so loved, he gave himself to us. We certainly shouldn't mistake Christmas gift giving for materialism. It's not really about the thing. I mean, it can feel like that sometimes. I'm not saying it doesn't, and I'm not saying that I won't help Colleen pick an appropriate gift for me. I mean, so it's not just primarily about the gift. A real Christmas gift, it's an expression of love. It's not so much the gift, it is the love that is in the gift that conveys it. The perfect Christmas gift shows that you are known. The person knows you well enough to give you something that you need or want or will enjoy. The perfect Christmas gift shows you that you are cared for. There's something in the gift that says you're cared for. And certainly there's something in the Christmas gift that says that you are prized above whatever the sacrifice it was that took to bring that gift to you. So the perfect Christmas gift tells us that we are known, that we are cared for, and that we are prized. God's Christmas gift, God's gift of himself is that gift. God so loved that he gave himself so that we might know that we are known, so that we might know that we are cared for, so that we might know that we are prized above all things. Christmas is God's act of self-revelation. Christmas is where God gives us the gift of himself. Every good gift that comes from God actually contains something of who God is. God doesn't give other than himself. Like the Son, he gives himself. And so that is what we experience. So Christmas contains much of God's gift of love. Obviously, in John 3:16, one of those gifts is eternal life. But I just want to say, and we'll talk about this multiple times in times to come, but eternal life isn't about when or where, how long will I live, or where will I live. Eternal life is about with whom you will live. Eternal life is always about relationship. And that's why in John 10, it also talks about abundant life. Again, that's not about how much I have or what I have, but who I have. Eternal life and abundant life is always about the who, the relationship that is contained within it. So God's Christmas gifts of love is about relationship and about us entering into that. But there are many other gifts that God gives to us. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be celebrating, acknowledging, thinking about, and the 4 particular gifts that are remembered at Advent. Next Sunday, Tani is going to be speaking about hope. Then the week after that, I'll speak about peace. And then after that, we'll talk about joy. And then 4 Sundays from now, Julie and Anthony will be speaking about love, and the children will be part of that service, and we'll be focusing on Christmas love. But Christmas is a time for us to remember and to embrace all the many gifts that God gives to us. Christmas encapsulates God as the primary gift giver. God gives, we respond. And God gives us not just things or not just blessings, but God gives us assurance of love and care and being known within all the many gifts that he gives to us. We respond to God's gifts of love to us with thanksgiving for the many blessings that surround us daily, the big ones that catch us by surprise, but the small ones that are there so often that we don't even notice them. We give thanks for the many gifts that God gives to us, and we respond with love to the love that inhabits each blessing. The proper response to a gift from God is not thanks and then running off and playing with it by ourselves, but recognizing that it is a gift of love in which we meet with and respond to God. I want to say that I know that sometimes it can be difficult to feel God's love. Sometimes in the midst of suffering or daily difficulties, it can be difficult to feel that God loves us. We might know it, we might believe it, but we don't always feel it. In times of disappointment for ourselves or in times of disappointment for family or loved ones, we might not feel that God loves us. And there are times when we can get distracted and life is just a blur. And we don't have that sense of the love of God being with us throughout each day. And I want to suggest that at those times, perhaps the image is that God has given us his gifts of love, but we've left them unwrapped. We've got to that, the presents are all there, but we haven't unwrapped them. And we kind of know that we have presents and we know that God loves us, but we don't feel it because we haven't actually gone through the practice or the act of unwrapping them. And so I want to suggest that as an exercise in which we can discover or rediscover or re-experience God's love for us, that we might between today and Christmas actually unwrap the presents that God has given to us. Now, we could spend you could spend all day doing that. So what I'm suggesting is that, like you do with your kids, you kind of space it out. And I suggest that you unwrap three blessings of God each day between now and Christmas Day. So each night, if you're one of those strange people that waking up, in the morning, but I'm almost hitting my strength by the third coffee. But, so whenever it's appropriate for you, that you actually count your blessings. That you count three blessings. That you think to yourself, these are three blessings, three gifts of love that has come to me. And that we give thanks. And that we give thanks for that blessing. And I can tell you that there are scientists who have been looking into people's brains. Yeah. Not mine, obviously. There's only a limit with what their equipment can find. But they look into people's brain, and if you give thanks for three things, for 30 days, you change the way that your brain works. Three things that you're thankful for 30 days, and your brain actually starts to work differently. Now, this is just in general. This is just science, not particularly related to recognizing the blessings of God. But we know that giving thanks is important. So what I want to suggest is that in addition to that, as we are giving thanks for three blessings, that we actually acknowledge the one who is giving us those blessings. It's one thing to give thanks, but it's another one to give thanks to the person who has given you the gift. And so in acknowledging that this is a gift from God for three blessings, then we will actually start to recognize or experience God's language of love, of his gift giving. And in addition to that, I'm encouraging you to actually share that joy with others. So count your blessings. Acknowledge that blessing is from God, that you didn't deserve it, or it's just not just luck or good chance, but this is an actual gift from God. And then to share that joy with others. That is what I mean by unwrapping the gift that God has given you. So unwrapping the many gifts. And as we do that, I think it will ensure that we have a sense that God loves us, not just abstractly, but we will feel that God loves us. But it will also help us to echo God's language of love to others. We love our families. We love our friends. We love our neighbors. We even love our enemies because God first loved us. And the more that we know that love of God, the easier and more positive will be the way in which we love family, friends, neighbors, and others. If you want to love your neighbors, if you want to love your enemies, don't try and think how wonderful they are. If they're your enemy, they may not even be wonderful. But the more you think of God's love for you, the more that will echo out, and you'll be able to love your neighbors, your enemies, your friends, and your families. Of course, your family might be all of those things. But you're not going to get a better family. You've got the family you got. So if you're going to love them, let God love you. God first loves, then we echo that. So we can multiply our experience of God's love through gift giving. And this is what we are doing collectively as a church and what we do individually. We give these gifts, these sacks of love, we give them not to buy favor with people, not to make them like us or think that we're good or whatever. We give them because God first loved us. And in response to God's love to us, we give. God's gift of love comes to us, and then we share that with others. Like God, though, our gifts of love should be invitations to be known and to be loved. It's not just enough to give things. We have to give ourselves with that, and we have to be willing to engage and to know people. And I think that's part of the reason, certainly, that people's names are on this, and it's not just an anonymous kind of a thing. It's like you are known and you are cared for. In the same way that God's gifts of love come to us saying that you are known and that you are cared for, we echo that in others. And probably at this point I should mention the logo was done by Ben Morton. So that's why it looks so good. Thanks, Ben. That is a good logo. It just makes me happy looking at it. That's good. So, Christmas time. If there is a time of the year in which we are open to the idea that God gives gifts of love, it surely has to be Christmas. So this Christmas time, let us not just receive God's gifts of love, but let's unwrap it. Let's unwrap the wonders of the story of Christmas. Not just, ooh, isn't it pretty, a baby in a manger kind of thing, but let's look behind the wrappings of that and actually see God's gift of himself to us. Our sense of being loved by God will grow. Our experience of being loved by God will grow if we focus on not on the wrappings of the blessing, but if we focus on the who of the blessings, if we focus on the gift of God himself that is within each one of our blessings. So I want to end the sermon this morning with a prayer. A prayer that is based on this idea of God as the giver of every good gift. And I encourage you to do that. It's I did it with my theology students, some of them more successfully than others. But what I said to them, you haven't understood something unless you can pray it. You can't, just saying that you know a truth or a doctrine is abstract. But if you can address God who is contained within that truth and if you can allow that to shape who you are and your relationship with God, then you have begun to understand what that truth is. And so I recommend to you during the week that you might, as you come to prayer, you might begin your prayer with the words, "Thanks to the God who is love, the giver of every good gift. Thanks be to the God who is love, the giver of every good gift." So let's join together in prayer. Give thanks to the God who is love, the giver of every good gift. In the internal perfection of love that exists before time and space, before creation, and before otherness, you are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, giving love without reservation and receiving love without hesitation. God is love without a shadow of selfishness. God's self thrives in an eternal dance of giving and receiving love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the continuing miracle of expanding love, you created world of others, those who are not God, who are created by your word to be recipients of divine love. Your love was complete. Yet you graciously overflow with a love that embraces all of your creation. And in humility and vulnerability, you open yourself up to receive our echoes of love. Despite the hurt you experience from our thanklessness and from our selfish rejection of you and your love, you continue to reach out to us through gifts of love, calling us to yourself with merciful blessings that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In your grace, you give gifts to all, to the deserving and to the undeserving, to the thankless and to the thankful, because you are love, not because you need to be loved. Each gift, whatever its shape or size, contains within its wrapping the true gift that is your faithful presence and the invitation to each one of us to be held within the warmth of your love. Your gifts of love give faith and hope to our failing hearts. Your gifts of love give life and light to our failing hearts. Your gifts of love give our hearts the capacity to love. We love because you first loved us. Because you are love, today we will count our blessings, your many gifts of love to us. Because you are love, today we will give thanks to you for the gifts of love that you give to us. Because you are love, today we will give witness to your gifts of love to us. Because you are love, today we will echo your love to others and share your grace with others. This morning, we don't ask for more gifts of love. Rather, we ask for eyes to see and hearts to receive the many gifts of love that you have already poured out upon us. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gifts. Amen. Now, for over 3,000 years, the people of God have been receiving a priestly blessing. This can be found in Numbers chapter 6. It's a common blessing and one that you may have heard many times. But again, I want to stress that it contains within it the truth of what we've been talking about this morning. It's the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Give you gifts of love. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God is a giving God. And we are people who are blessed by being recipients of that love. So let's stand and receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.